Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and on today's program, we're going to be talking about cancer risk in Hamilton County. Before we get started into our show, I do have a couple of announcements I'd like to share. The first is a congratulations to our 2026 DAISY Award for Extraordinary Nurses recipient, Ian Wellick, who is a registered nurse at Van Deest Family Health Clinic in Fort Dodge. Ian was recognized last Wednesday afternoon during a special ceremony as part of National Nurses Week. The DAISY Award honors nurses who demonstrate exceptional clinical skills, compassion, and patient-centered care. Ian was nominated by patients Tammy and Clara Enquist, who praised his kindness, professionalism, and genuine connection with patients. In the nomination, they wrote, "We felt very welcomed from the moment he called us back to the office. He was down to earth and talked to us like real people." We are incredibly proud of Ian and grateful for the compassionate care he provides to our patients and families each day. I do also want to mention and recognize the other outstanding DAISY Award nominees for this year. They included Cindy Christensen, who is a nurse in our inpatient department, Melissa Vaughn, nurse in surgery and specialty clinic, Amy Alcazar, a nurse in the inpatient department, Alicia Fox, a nurse in surgery, specialty clinic, Kelly Elliott, a nurse in the emergency department, and Chris Foster, nurse practitioner with Mercy One Iowa Heart. Thank you to all of our nurses for the compassion, dedication, and excellence you bring to healthcare every day. Your impact reaches far beyond the walls of our hospital and clinics. Another celebration this week is National Hospital Week. It runs from May 10th through the 16th, and we are celebrating the theme, Healing Happens Here. It honors hospitals, health systems, and healthcare workers. This is an annual event occurring during the week of Florence Nightingale's birthday and recognizes the 5,000 and more hospitals providing crucial critical care. It features local community support and highlights the contributions of professionals and caregivers nationwide. And here at Van Deest Medical Center, we are celebrating National Hospital Week with a fiesta of care. We have several activities planned throughout the week. We had a catered meal brought to us from Lomitas here in Webster City. We are also providing some wellness labs to our employees, and we'll wrap up the week with a Fiesta Friday. So I want to give a thank you to all of our staff for everything they do in providing the compassionate care that they do for our area residents. And lastly, I want to mention the May Webster City Community Blood Drive will be held tomorrow, May 14th, from 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom at Van Deest Medical Center. Appointments are encouraged. The easiest way to schedule an appointment is to go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org. Donors will receive a free delicious cookie from Scooters here in Webster City and a 20% off coupon to use at the gift shop at Van Deest Medical Center. All proceeds from the gift shop do support the hospital. It is a great place to shop. You shop, they give. Again, the May Webster City Community Blood Drive will be held tomorrow from 12:30 to 5:30. And with that, we are going to get started into today's program. As I mentioned, we are going to be talking about cancer rates in Hamilton County, specifically cancer and water here in our county, and talking about what the numbers say. Joining us for today's program, we welcome back nurse practitioner Jade Williams. Good morning and welcome, Jade.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me again.
Yes. We love having you. You bring great topics, and Jade is a guest on our show each month, and I always look forward to the programs and what she offers.
So thank you. Yes. So as Lori mentioned, it's kind of been everywhere, right? And as we were talking earlier, it was just recently even on the news. So I wanted to talk about something that is seeming to come up more and more frequently. And honestly, it's becoming an everyday conversation, especially around here in Hamilton County. And so that question is, why does it feel like we're seeing so much cancer? And realistically, that's a fair question and a serious one, and it deserved a thoughtful answer. So today I just wanted to kind of break down in a practical way. I have included some cancer rates that are very current, what might be contributing to those, and one factor that it seems to be especially relevant to us in rural Iowa would be our drinking water. So approximately 282,000 Iowans obtain their water from a private water supply. But before I dive in, if you are interested in any of this information or how can you kind of maybe even delve into it a little more deeply than what we covered today, you can always refer to the statecancerprofiles.cancer.gov, and you can actually select your state, and it compares it to the national average, and it breaks it down by each individual cancer as well as overall cancer rate. And then they also have a tab for resources, which is great. You can also refer to the 2026 Cancer in Iowa report, which is put together by the public health at the University of Iowa, and then also lastly the International Agency for Research on Cancer, and that's an organization that identifies agents specifically that can cause cancer in humans, and they actually, one of their reports is included in the 2026 Cancer in Iowa report, so it's a really nice condensed PDF that you can refer to. So really, let's just start with the numbers because that context matters. Mm-hmm. So many of us in Hamilton County feel like cancer is more common than it used to be, and that concern is real, but it's very complex. And so Iowa's, unfortunately, are consistently reporting higher cancer incidence than the national average. And specifically, cancer is a leading cause of death statewide. Iowa is currently ranked second in the nation for cancer diagnosis, specifically in young adults ages 20 to 39. And realistically, cancer is not one specific cause, and we've not been able to identify what exactly is that driver. So really, we're looking at evidence as being associational and not definitive. In Hamilton County, cancer rates tend to fall in a range of about 450 to 500 cases per 100,000 people per year. Across Iowa, that's actually a bit higher, roughly 498 per 100,000, which was just reviewed for today, actually. So that's the most current. And that's 10% higher than the national average overall. And then nationally, in the United States, so we're closer to about 430 to 460 per 100,000. So yes, unfortunately, our state and the counties like ours do run somewhat higher than the national average, and the national incident rate is generally lower than Iowans, making Iowa an outlier in the Midwest. And so this really is something that requires some extra attention. And living in Iowa, especially rural Iowa, we are often closest to the source of what can end up in the groundwater, and that's why it puts us in such a unique position. So the key point is it's not due to one single cause, so what is actually driving those numbers? When you're looking at cancer risk, it's almost always comes down to a combination of factors, and typically we assimilate aging with cancer. Mm-hmm. That's how, you know, it's always thought of a disease of an older adult or older population. And it does increase as we get older, but rural counties tend to have older populations, but unfortunately that's not necessarily what we're seeing as trends.
Right.
So environmental exposure is becoming a primary concern, as well as lifestyle factors, and there's ongoing research and discussion. modern ag practices actually have become much safer over the most recent decades, and exposure over time is what is still seeming to matter the most. So what are some of those contributing factors and drivers? Environmental factors specifically being looked at by the Iowa Environmental Council are nitrates in the water. PFAS, they're just like never ending. Essentially, you have this exposure to them, it's lifelong. And radon exposure, and then agricultural exposure, herbicide use or pesticide use, and specifically the top three are the glyphosate, or better known as Roundup, the acetachlor, and the atrazine. So these are better known, and they're also known as being endocrine disruptors. So really what that means is it could be a contributing factor of, say, your mother was exposed to those things, it turned on something epigenetically, and then it was passed down to you in utero, and then now it's affecting the development of your DNA or how your DNA continues to replicate. So those are all things that's being looked at. And unfortunately, you know, they're under investigation, and 85% of Iowa is agriculture. Mm-hmm. So it really does affect the overall population. And lifestyle, unfortunately, Iowa has a high binge drinking rate. We're fourth in the nation. Wow. I did fact check that again this morning just to make sure that it hadn't changed. But with alcohol-related cancer rates, almost 10% higher in the U.S. average. There is some data supporting, and I'm not saying this is 100%, but there's a lot of data supporting that breast cancer mm-hmm. can be caused by binge drinking, or has a correlation with binge drinking. And then, you know, also while reviewing the most recent publications for the state of Iowa, I was significantly surprised to read that farmers and their significant others are having lower rates of cancer given their long-term exposure to various chemicals and known carcinogens. And this information can be found in the Agricultural Health Study. It's also included in that 2026 Cancer in Iowa report. So that is a study that's been ongoing for, I'm going to probably get it incorrect, but it was somewhere around the late 70s, early 80s that they started this trending. Farmers and families could opt in, and they just kind of have reportable data that's mm-hmm. constantly being collected and checked, obviously because of the type of work that they do and potential exposure to their significant others and families. But some reports are saying they're having 40% or less cancer versus other Iowans. Mm-hmm. And so just to be clear, there's no single smoking gun, but there are pieces of the puzzle that we can try to understand. And then one of those pieces specifically in a rural setting would be something we use every day, which is our water. And so with this information can all become very overwhelming, and this hopefully will give you something you can feel a sense of control over. I mean, that's kind of the goal. Where do you start? So who should be paying attention? You know, households, if you're utilizing a private well, especially if it's an older well or shallow, families with infants, because unfortunately the nitrates are especially dangerous to them, pregnant women, and then farmers near heavy fertilizer use. So a lot of people don't realize in rural Iowa, many households are relying on private wells, and these private wells are not regulated the same way as city water systems, so they're not federally regulated. It falls on the owner to have them tested, and so, you know, really your water quality is only as good as the last time you checked it, and if you've never tested your well, then you don't really know what you're drinking. The most common concerns we see in Iowa water in general is nitrates, arsenic, and then of course bacterial contamination. And you know, the key point here is that you generally can't see or smell or taste most of these. So you're just consuming it kind of blindly, mm-hmm. you know. A lot of times we tend to think if it's clear, it's fine, yeah. and that's
looks
not,
fine.
Right. Yeah.
Smells fine.
Doesn't smell funny. Right. Yes. So nitrates, you know, typically we get these from fertilizer and agricultural runoff, and Iowa, you know, has a longstanding nitrate challenge due to agriculture. Sunday or Monday, it was just on the news about the Des Moines River having elevated nitrate levels. So key data point, in 2025, testing across Iowa, 18% of the samples were at or above the federal safety limit. And so that becomes concerning when you think about, it's not just what you're ingesting, but also what you may be utilizing recreationally, mm-hmm. because Iowa, you know, a huge thing we look forward to is playing in the river, or, you know, going to lakes,
boating,
for summer,
right.
fun. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so canoeing, kayaking, boating, mm-hmm. you know, letting your children play in the beach, in the shallow water. Mm-hmm. So these are all things that we really have to just, you know, be mindful of. And just because, like I said, just because it's clear doesn't mean it really is safe. Mm-hmm. Arsenic, you know, this is actually naturally occurring in groundwater. And some Iowa wells exceed these safety levels. And then, of course, the bacterial contamination is from livestock, septic tanks, and indicator that the water system integrity may be compromised. And so how does that all connect with cancer risk? So the research in this area, of course, is ongoing, but we have some important signals that's been found. Long-term exposure to higher nitrate levels has been associated with increased risk of cancer. And arsenic exposure has a clearer link, especially with cancers like bladder cancer and skin cancer. But here's what we need to be responsible in how we talk about this. So the risk really depends on how much exposure you have and for how long, right? And we know that these levels vary. It's going to vary based off of rainfall. It's going to vary based off of, you know, water irrigation systems that's being used in around agricultural settings. So simply having something present in your water does not mean that it's going to cause cancer, but it does mean it's worth understanding and then seeing how you can best manage it, mm-hmm. or mitigate that situation. So now, if you live or work on a farm, there are a few additional things that you can think about. And actually, you know, some of these are things that we can think about just living in Hamilton County specifically. You know, farm life in general comes with its own set of exposures, but then also being in and within the community. So first is going to be that water. If you're using a private well near an agricultural activity, you may have a higher exposure to those nitrates over time. And so just being really mindful about getting your wells tested. It is free. And it's mm-hmm. within public health, correct?
That is correct. And I wanted to make sure that we did mention that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can contact public health. You know, just personally speaking, I was actually talking to my mom about this over the weekend. She said they receive a little reminder in the mail to get it scheduled. So I think that's great. Mm-hmm. So hopefully if you do get that, don't throw it away this time.
Yeah.
You know, and just see what's going on. And then second would be that chemical exposure. So thinking about those herbicides, pesticides, fertilizers, these are much actually safer than they used to be, but long-term exposure is still going to matter. And then third, thinking about diesel and equipment exhaust over many years. You know, this is something, you know, farmers and farmers' wives and families where hats of all trades, you know, it's not necessarily siloed, you know,
yes.
So thinking about those things and how can you still do the things that you take such pride in and enjoy doing, and but how can you do it maybe a little more safer, or mm-hmm. At least for yourself? And so, you know, how can you do that, and how can you start now? First would be get that well tested if you can. And then test it at least once a year, especially if you've never done it before. And being mindful about focusing on the nitrates and the bacteria. And then second, consider common water treatments. So a lot of households use systems like a water softener, or I've even, you know, some have ventured now into reverse osmosis or RO systems. So really those reverse osmosis systems can remove the nitrates, which is great, but they also, it's a major water filtration system. It's highly effective. It's usually under the sink or like a countertop. And it removes up to 99% of contaminants, including lead, arsenic, the PFAS or forever chemicals, fluoride, and really how that's working is it's forcing the water through a semi-permeable membrane, and then these RO water filtration systems do not increase the risk of kidney stones. That was something I wanted to mention. So they actually are considered to be helpful in preventing this because they take out the calcium and the magnesium that can also be left behind or found in water. So overall, they're very safe to use as your primary drinking source. And they also remove 90% of total dissolved solids. So that is like reducing that concentration of any stone-forming minerals like calcium, magnesium, and oxalate. So another option is the water softener system, which I feel like tends to be more common in a rural home setting. But it's not the same as a reverse osmosis system. Water softeners remove hard minerals, specifically calcium and magnesium, and it's really intended to protect your plumbing, your appliances, and things like that. While reverse osmosis systems filter out the impurity, contaminants, chemicals for drinking water. So softeners use an ion exchange, and they actually add back in sodium, so that's something to think about. Just in consideration to all other health aspects as well. And then of course, there's always the old tried and true boiling your water. And this could be you're boiling it for drinking or you're boiling it for various things. I guess I might be dating myself, but do they still recommend you boil baby bottles? I guess I don't know. But when I had children, my kids aren't even that old, but we still boiled the bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're boiling those, you're actually concentrating the nitrates that can be found in your water, wherever that source may be. So it could be water from the tap. It could be water from your well, however that is. But you're actually concentrating the nitrates, and those are not good for babies, period. Also thinking, as I was reviewing and reading, we boil our water for noodles, or you mm-hmm. use it for cooking, or things like that. So something just to be mindful of. I'm not trying to scare anybody but it's just things that we take for granted and don't necessarily really think about the implications or what that can mean. So, and then third, trying to protect yourself. So going back to using gloves when handling chemicals, and if you can, wash your work clothes separately.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then fourth, staying on top of your screenings. So getting in for your preventative care, colonoscopies, mammograms, eye exams, whatever that may be, having a good close relationship with your primary care. If you are 65 and over and you can get those annual wellness visits, that's also a great thing. It's covered by Medicare, mm-hmm. and it's a great opportunity to see what it is that you're due for, or have that conversation with your primary care on what could be best for you and what your needs are from a medical standpoint and continued management. So, and then also just kind of thinking about how can we kind of clear up a couple misconceptions before we wrap up today. So like I've mentioned a couple times already, clear water does not mean safer water. If you've been drinking water from the same well for 30 years, that does not guarantee it's still safe today. So you have to think about, how does a well acquire the water? And it's coming in, right? Yes, it's going through the dirt and the silt and everything. It's being filtered naturally, but it's still coming in mm-hmm. and up. And so anytime there's a shift in heavy rains, different changes of the season, all those things play a major factor into that. And so that's why it's so important to at least test your water annually. And then boiling water does not fix everything, especially in consideration for those nitrates. And then realistically, the bottom line is, as of early 2026, Iowa has the second highest and one of the fastest rising cancer rates in the U.S. And recent studies are strongly linking this crisis to environmental factors, specifically high nitrates, pesticides, and those PFAS in the water. March of 2026, there was a report that found 13 of 16 cancer types that are associated with these pollutants exceed the national incident rate. And so while we can't eliminate every cancer risk, that's just the reality. We can try to have control over certain aspects of our lives, our family and our community, and we can make smarter decisions about what we drink, how we live, and when we get screened. And so living in rural county like Hamilton County has a lot of advantages, but it also means we need more responsibility for things like water safety. And the good news is the one area where a simple test can give you real answers and a real peace of mind. So testing your well might be the one simplest health decision you can make this year.
And it's a simple contact to make. Like Jade mentioned, Hamilton County Public Health does well testing. You can call them 515-832-9565 and get that scheduled. Make your health a priority. I think it's a good reminder for everyone to hear and some great information shared. Jade, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to mention Jade Williams is available for appointments at Vandy's Family Health Clinic here in Webster City. You can call 515-832-7800 to schedule an appointment today. That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, where our focus is you.